Hey everyone, welcome back to All the Buzz. Today I am joined by one of my favorite fashion designers. I'd actually interviewed her maybe like 12 years ago when I had a very small fashion blog at the time, and she was very sweet to let me come into the office and film, which I don't know if she knows. But now I am being joined by her today, and that is Nicole Miller. Nicole is one of the most recognized names in fashion, and she's having a major moment again right now. In this episode, we are uncovering the steps that it took for her to get to where she is today. So let me introduce Nicole. Hi.
Hi. Great to be here.
Thanks for being here. We're matching. We got the orange memo.
I guess without getting the memo, we color coordinated, huh?
Totally. And you know what I love? Like, I have to admit, as I'm getting a little older, I feel like I'm gravitating a little bit just in my everyday wardrobe towards neutrals, just because whatever, I'm having like a 30-year-old life crisis. However, there's nothing I love more than color. And I feel like you're a designer who has always celebrated the beauty of wearing vibrant clothes.
Well, I'm really not into neutrals. I mean, I have my share of black clothes, but you'll never see me in beige.
Yeah, no, I get it. And this is so beautiful. You have had such an extensive career in fashion. And I think what I admire most about you is that you have been able to stay relevant for the last 40 years. Now, you know, there are so many fashion designers who make a splash for a season and then you never hear about them again. What do you think has been at the core of your longevity in this business?
Well, I think there's a lot of different things because I just feel like I never got complacent about things. And I think a lot of people, you know, they find their formula and then they stick with it. And I would just think I was always more about, you know, if it's not broken, fix it.
Yeah.
Kind of attitude. And yeah, I always wanted to try new things and, you know, and I don't want to always wear the same thing. And I just think because I was sort of the person wearing the clothes, always wanted me to like move on to other things. And I always listen to my assistants, you know, very often, like, you know, I'll be fighting with them and I go, that color never sells. And they go, oh, it's gonna sell this year. And, you know, sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. But I mean, I was always open to criticism and trying different things. And I've always had a very young staff around me. Mm. So, I mean, they keep me in tune with like music and whatever's going on. So I think I've just stayed open-minded over the years and not been, you know, I've just said, okay, well, let's try it.
Yeah. And you attended RISD. You obviously, yes, when you were growing up, had many internships in the fashion industry. Did you always know you wanted to launch your own brand, or did you have dreams for working for some of the legacy designers at that time?
Well, I think, you know, most designers, they go to design school and they have that dream,
yeah,
to have their own business. I think that's everybody's dream. And I'm surprised always at how many people give up on that dream. And I know it's nice to work under like major designers, but I don't know, when I came to New York, I was just looking for a job, mm-hmm, because, you know, nobody was going to be paying my rent for me, so I had to have a job. So I actually, like, my first job was designing raincoats, oddly enough. And actually, that was really fun because I always had this kind of obsession for raincoats. And after that, I went on to design for this designer who was actually, you know, really one of the big superstars of his time, this designer named Clovis Ruffin. And he was just one of the top people in fashion in that sort of time period. And it kind of makes me sad that there's a lot of those people, they don't even remember them anymore.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, that was a lot of fun. It was a very exciting time, and I always played like great music in the studio, and that worked out really well. And then like one day I saw this ad in the paper. Oh, I ran into a girlfriend on the street and she goes, oh, I got this new job and I'm going to Europe and I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And I'm like, oh, I want to do that. So it kind of made me all thinking like, maybe I should like find, you know, something else.
Yeah.
So I saw this ad in the paper and it said, designer willing to travel to Europe. And I'm like, well, that's for me. Like, who's going to say no to that? So I applied for this job, and, you know, the funny thing was it was narrowed down to three candidates, and one of them was, like, one of my best friends. And I found out that I'd gotten the job, and she was kept asking me, have you heard anything? So I was like, no, I haven't heard anything. So, yeah. It was a little awkward. But anyway, so I got the job, and then I was at that job for about 7 years, and you know, was a primarily a dress company, and it was a great company at that point, but you know, my name wasn't on the label or anything.
Right.
And then what happened was it was a division of a big company, and the big company was going out of business or Chapter 11 or something. So my boss and I sort of packed up and started our own business, and on like $100,000. So we went from one business to the other business. Like overnight, we took all our employees. Nobody missed a paycheck. But we didn't have a lot of money to go very far.
Yeah.
So the first season, I made this dress, and I was so lucky I made this dress because we sold hundreds of thousands of them. It was one of those dresses that just took off. And the United States, I mean, like, it used to be different because everybody would wear the same thing. If there was a trend, I mean, now there's always a million trends. Everybody dresses differently.
Yeah.
But there would be, like, the thing of the season that everybody would be wearing. And there would be, like, the color of the season. Like, one year would be royal blue. Everybody in the streets would be in, like, royal blue. And one year would be, like, purple. And everybody would be wearing purple. But now there's a lot more diversity and a lot of everybody. I mean, there are trends, but people dress a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
But it was much more narrow back then. And if there was a silhouette that was in style, like even if you didn't have that dress, you'd be wearing that silhouette. So anyway, that dress took off, and we made enough money for the business to go on. And after about a year of making those dresses, everybody in the United States has copied it, like literally everybody. It was on every brand. So
Wow. We
finally said, okay, got to move on. So we moved on from that.
And did the next thing. Launched a whole line of ready-to-wear. And during those days, and you would have your Fashion Week runway shows, you would have the greatest models from Linda Evangelista, right, to Cindy Crawford, I believe, all the original supermodels wearing your clothes. And back then, that was obviously, you know, kind of like the coolest form of marketing I feel like you could get, right, when it came to showing off clothing. Today, like, how important to you is the world of influencers or not?
Well, I don't know. So when we had the supermodels, that was like great. And every time you put on a fashion show, and then again, things were different too, because there was regional newspapers. Like every city would send their editors to New York. So you'd have Chicago, Houston, Dallas, San Francisco, LA, and all these cities would come to New York.
Right.
And they would come to New York, they'd review the fashion show, and you would get press all over the place. And that doesn't happen anymore. I mean, most of these newspapers don't even have fashion sections. They don't send their editors to New York.
Right.
So it's kind of great that we have, you know, Instagram and Facebook and all kinds of social media to take over for, you know, the lack of editors and newsprint that we used to have.
Right.
So, I always find it's very hard to gauge the benefit of these, because we've gone through periods of time where we've paid influencers, and sometimes we'll get like a big bang for the buck, and sometimes we get nothing. You know, it's just
interesting.
And I've never really felt that it's, I mean, you really have to do a lot of it to really make a difference in your business.
Right. And you are the face of your brand, and I feel like, you know, I was watching you, like I said, on QVC when you first launched, and I think there's something really special about seeing a designer advocate for their brand, wearing their brand, being their brand.
Right.
And you've done that for the last 40 years. And I think that's probably what, in large part too, like, really created this evolution of your company becoming a lifestyle brand. I mean, you've done way more than clothing. You've done a rosé line. You know, what made you want to say, I want to go beyond the dress, of course, but, and I want to go beyond clothes. I want to do other categories too.
Well, it's, you know, it doesn't always happen that way. Mm-hmm. A lot of things landed in my lap, I have to say, because, you know, first I had the clothing line, and we pretty much just had the clothing line. And then somebody came along one day and wanted to do handbags with us. So, okay, then we had like a handbag licensee, and then somebody came along and wanted to do a shoe licensee. So a lot of these things, people like over the years have approached me, and I mean, and then when we made men's ties, and then all the liquor companies approached me, and we did, you know, licensing deals with, you know, various champagne companies. Back when we were in the tie business, we did a lot of ties with all these different liquor companies, and then we started doing collaborations with them. And we had a champagne bottle that we designed, and they just sold a ton of that champagne. So that was like my first foray into alcohol, wow. the alcohol business. But after that, like a lot of different things happened. We got a cosmetic license. We got, it's kind of snowballed. And at some points, we have gotten licensing agents to bring us in licensing deals.
Yeah.
But a lot of times things just landed in our laps and just people called us up, or it was because we were doing one thing, it led to another thing.
And now the next thing that I guess your path has led to is really QVC. How did that deal come about?
Well, you know, that's interesting. That was like another, just a conversation. And a conversation, and would I be interested? And I said, sure, why not? I mean, I thought it would be fun. And a lot of my good friends are on it, like Dennis Basso and Peter Thomas Roth. And,
right.
And, you know, they've been doing it for a long time, and they think it's great. So I was like, sure, I'll do it. So so I had my first show, I think it was the end of May, and it did really, really well. So QVC kind of came out of a conversation, and, you know, somebody said, would you be interested? And I said, sure. And so we made this pitch to them. We went down there, and you know, everybody loved the presentation, and I thought it'd be fun. I mean, my friends do it. Dennis Basso does it. Peter Thomas Roth does it, and they've been doing it for years, and they said it would be great. They gave me a lot of tips, too. They were very helpful.
Like what?
Well, you know, certain things to say and not to say, and, you know, smile, look at the camera. No, but they give me a lot of good tips and everything, and they just, you know, just little tips about how to be on camera and how to describe things and that sort of thing. So anyway, they've been very helpful. So I had my first show at the end of May, and it went really well. So big plans for next year.
Very good. So it was a one night, was that a one night special or?
I think it was a 9 o'clock show. It was 9 to 10. And then I had to stay around for another hour because they did a pickup in the fall. Like they had another show at 11. So I had like another 10 minute spot in another show.
Okay. And so your next time going on?
Well, then I went again in June. I had another hour in June, and I also did Dennis Basso and Friends. So I've now done 3 times.
Very good. And did you like it? It's a totally different world.
No, it's really fun. It's really fun. Actually, I really enjoyed it.
And I think it's really cool because it's given women of, you know, all demographics, all sizes, really an opportunity to get their hands on your brand that maybe they didn't have before.
Yeah, and we're using runway prints from previous years, so they're not current. They're all like my favorite prints. So, you know, we've been saying we're bringing the runway to your closet.
I love that. And speaking of the runway to your closet, I'm wearing your dress and your jean jacket, but this dress is so stunning. You've made it in many different colors. I think it's just perfect. You're also bringing back these, what would you call it? Like these high, is this your runway?
Oh, we have a signature collection. Signature. So we have a signature collection, and the clothes are like $600 to $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all custom made. So we have the samples, we photograph the samples, you're wearing a sample. And it can all be ordered online.
I love that.
And we say 6-week delivery, but sometimes we have a quicker turnaround.
Very nice. Do you still go into your office every day? Are you still?
Yeah, but we don't, grinding? You know, since COVID, that's like the nice thing about COVID is it's always work from home Fridays.
Which is great. But you're still like Monday to Thursday, you're still going.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
What do you think keeps you so motivated and inspired? I think there's a lot of people who get to your point of success who are just like, okay, I'm going to take a step back,
but
you keep going.
I have taken a step back and I've been traveling more and that sort of thing. And I take, you know, I just went to Albania for a week and I judged a fashion competition in Albania.
Wow.
So that was a fascinating trip, really a great trip. So I have been taking like more trips, and that's always a source of inspiration for me too, which is good. But, you know, I don't know. It's like, I mean, I feel like I have less to do, but I'm always busy. Like I'm always busy. And I come in and, you know, today is like a very busy day. Like I was saying, I went to the Nike thing this morning.
Yeah.
We were invited to do this networking event and design our own sneakers, and which was really fun.
So fun.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was a great event. And so then I came here. So, you know, today's a busy day, and then I've got dinner with an ex-model of mine tonight. So.
An ex, what did you say? Model?
Yeah.
Model.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, one of my favorite models. So.
Is that someone we would know?
Patricia Velasquez.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Who are some of your muses, speaking of inspiration and models?
You know, I don't really have any right now. I mean, I just remember, like, I was always obsessed with Angelina Jolie forever.
Mm.
And I was so happy when I got to dress her a few times. So that was, you know, like one of my dreams was to...
It's pretty iconic.
I know. But we still get a lot of celebrity requests, so we're, you know, busy dressing people. Allie has been doing that.
That's awesome. Very cool. And we love to see that. What have been some of your proudest kind of career moments? You can even give us one. What's been one bucket list item for you that you've achieved besides dressing Angelina?
So the thing is, you know, we opened in 1982. I didn't have my first fashion show till 1990. Mm. So, you know, all these kids get out of school and then they have a fashion show like right away. So I really waited a long time. So,
yeah.
And then we'd been in business like 8 years before I had a fashion show. So my first fashion show was actually spring 91. And that was the year I had like every supermodel. I had Christy, I had Linda, I had Naomi, I had all of them. Kate Moss wasn't around yet, but she was in my show a few years later. But I had all the top girls in that show.
And you brought some of them back actually to one of your runway shows not too long ago, like right before COVID, I think it was.
Right. I had like Pat Cleveland,
yeah,
and Veronica Webb. And Veronica Webb was actually in my first fashion show with, wow, Christy and Linda. She was. Yeah. All the other girls were in different fashion shows, I mean, later on. But and I always loved Pat Cleveland. She was great.
She was so good in your show. And whenever I go to one of your shows, there's always just such an amazing energy and so many people who come to support you. Who is like your core friend group that you hang out with that, you know, our audience would know?
Well, I do see Candace Bushnell a lot.
We love her.
No, it's funny. When I was at the other thing, I got a phone call from Luann. So Candace, Luann, I see quite a bit. And I have a Sag Harbor crowd. You know, we're all in Sag Harbor. So
yeah.
We very often all get together and have, like, you know, a lunch together.
Were you friends with Luann, like, given her Real Housewives days, or did that come before the show?
Oh, I've known her way before the show.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I know her way before the show. Yeah, our sons used to have play dates together.
So funny.
Yeah. No, I've known her long before.
Did she ever drag you on the show back in the day?
You know, I've been, like, you know, the thing is, I've been...
Drag.
No, I've done things for that show so many times and I never appeared on it.
Really?
Yeah. No, I did a thing with Sonia. It never went on. And I was like some Halloween thing with Ramona. it never went on. And then Luann, her daughter, was interning for me. And they did a whole thing in my showroom and that never went on.
Victoria.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. I love Victoria. Anyway.
So sweet.
So they film a lot of stuff, but it doesn't necessarily go on. So that's fine. I'm fine not to have been on. Show.
Maybe you're not meant to be on Housewives, but you are meant to have your own show, which you kind of already now do thanks to QVC,
yeah,
right? So there you have it. We are so excited because you're going to be joining me and Fern Malice over in the Hamptons for our special spotlight Q&A panel. And something that I'm going to definitely be asking you when we're there, which I just kind of want to know now, is going back to the Fashion Week component. Do you think Fashion Week is as critical for a designer today as it was when you were starting out in the 80s and 90s?
I don't know that it's critical, but I think it certainly helps. I think it still really helps your visibility.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. I think it's good exposure, and it's still a thing. It's like the fashion shows have not died.
Yeah.
You know, people keep saying, oh, you know, it's, I don't know. I think that they still give people, you know, it gives you this, like, you know, important exposure. And especially if you show in like the tents or whatever, I call it the tents, but whatever the fashion.
Now it's everything. It's the buildings. Yes.
They change location every year, but whatever the location is, you get so much extra press there because all the press comes to that location. So you get a ton of press, you get a ton of interviews, you get a ton of things that just happen because you're in that location.
Yeah.
So it's really good to, you know, to do that.
We'll see what Fern has to say, right? When we're with her.
Well, I'm sure she'll, you know, probably say the same thing.
No, she will, for sure. It's just changed a lot in the last, you know,
But the other thing, when
decade.
I started out, there was like 40 shows in a week.
Right.
And editors literally went to every show, and there was only one show per hour.
Yeah.
And now you look at the schedule, there's 5 shows every hour.
It's crazy. It's like, how do you even compete almost, right?
Yeah.
Nicole, what's something that people would be surprised to learn about you?
I don't know. I'm super athletic, and I water ski and wakeboard and snow ski and So I do a lot of those kind of things.
I believe that. You look amazing,
and,
by the way.
And I cook a lot.
You do cook a lot, right?
Yeah, I'm a total foodie.
I remember that because when I was an editor at the Daily Front Row, I don't think I ever interviewed you for that, but I definitely
right.
top edited, and it was always like cooking with Nicole, and Ashley Baker would do all the stories with you, and
oh,
I loved
right.
it.
Yeah, they did a great story, I think, at my house making summer rolls.
Yeah, that's
right?
what it was.
Yeah.
And what I was saying at the beginning of this interview was that you truly, like, I was just starting out in my career. I think I was 16, and you let me come with a camera for my blog at the time, and I did a little interview with you, sort of like this, but
oh,
obviously I'm a little
16.
More polished.
Oh, my
I'm
God.
16, so, you know, I think
it's
great.
Do you know
who used
to come up to my showroom all the time?
Who?
Rachel Zoe.
Really? And she was our July 4th cover star last
year.
She
was this, you know, little tiny girl that you, and, you know.
Still is.
I know, but anyway, she would come up and she goes, oh, hi, it's Rachel Zoe. And then I ran into her in L.A. like years later. I totally didn't recognize her. She totally transformed herself.
Yeah.
And she goes, so it's me, Rachel Zoe. And I'm like, wow.
Wow.
She looks great.
That's funny. I love that story.
Yeah.
What's next for you, Nicole? I know you have a lot going on, but what can our audience expect next?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm going to be like on QVC a lot. The next one is September. And let's see. And I'm actually going back to Europe. You know, it's funny, I went to Italy, came back from Italy, went to Albania, and now I'm on a trip that goes from Sicily to Greece.
Amazing. For fun?
Yeah, for fun. But I'll get some inspiration.
And we'll see a collection with
vacations,
some prints.
Vacations always have a little bit of a business edge to them because, you know.
I get it. Yeah.
You know, I never go anywhere without not getting inspired about something, you know.
That's what makes travel special.
And, you know, it was so great. You know, this fashion show that I judged in Albania, they were, they had to be inspired by Albanian heritage, like techniques and everything.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting because I saw the show, but then I went in the markets and I saw all the places that they got their inspiration for the show. So it was interesting to see both sides of it.
How cool.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Very nice. Well, we can't wait to see what your travels lead you to doing next when you get back and, you know, I really encourage, our audience is probably a little bit younger than the QVC demographic, but I really encourage people to watch you on QVC. Like, I just thought it was such a cool experience just to even watch as a viewer and just, like, the power of being able to shop like that. And it's weird. Like, they're not weird, but there was definitely, like, a sense of community when I could see, like, the numbers going up. And they said, this amount is sold. Like, you just feel like you're part of a shopping experience.
Yeah, and it's real,
you know?
Because I always, like, wondered if it was, when I used to watch, I thought, is it really real? Are they really selling that many?
Yeah.
But they are.
Oh,
they are
is.
Selling that many.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being here.
Oh, and it was great.
And
it
I'll see you
really
in the
fun.
Hamptons.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds great. Can't
Thanks.
Wait.